Welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob, Scott, and Becky all review Bear Flag Zinfandel from Sonoma County in California. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome, everybody, to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy, and tonight I'm joined by Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver.
Good evening, folks. I'm glad you can join us.
I am also joined by an infirm Triple B.
Good evening.
Weekend.
You didn't describe us as an illustrious panel tonight.
Yes. So, on to the wine. Now, on the episode tonight, the show tonight. The spectacle tonight, everything you could ever think of tonight. We have a wine from California, and it's a Zinfandel. We never have Zinfandels anymore.
Don't even know what those, like, what's the varietal character of a Zinfandel?
We got too snooty. We're like, we drink Pinot Noir on this show, or we drink Italiano wines. Mm. No, we've not done a good old-fashioned Cali Zin.
Well, this is a little snobby.
We did do OZV. So there was
It's been some time, though.
Yeah. There has been a bit of time.
I think that the blend of this makes it be a little bit snobby.
Mm, it's very dry creekish in that, although that has a little more other stuff. And when I'm going to remember to tell you something that I figured out today. It was very interesting. It's a wine that I didn't know why I liked, but then I realized what the blend was, and I said, oh, it's 18% Petit Verdot. That's why I like it.
Mm. Oh.
I don't know what it was.
I was waiting breathlessly for you to tell me that.
It wasn't Bonanza. Matter of fact, I have no fucking clue what it was. I know what it is. It is Turley's Cedarman. It's Petit Verdot.
It is Petit Verdot.
Supposedly, I think. And it got a 93 plus from Parker today. Interesting. Interesting. But nevertheless, on tonight's show, we don't have Cedarman. Sorry. No.
It could be Cedarman like.
We have so much better. I think so. Allegedly, some people would suggest it's Cedarman like or more Segesio like is what I would suggest. It is a Segesio wannabe. I wish it is. I hope it is. I want it to be.
Baron. Like.
Baron?
Baron.
Well, you can actually find this one.
I bet it's a Grizzly's Inn.
It is. Oh, it is a Grizzly's Inn because
that's
tonight,
the joke. He was trying to make a similar joke.
I know. I know. I don't have my laugh track set up. I'll get that. I'll get an app on my phone.
It's also from Sonoma.
It is Sonoma. Actually, a lot of Dry Creek, but nevertheless, tonight. And I think you've probably seen this, folks, in your grocery stores. And you said, that's just a little bit too much money. It's just, you know, it's around, you know, it's just a little too much. Well, wait.
I think if I've seen this in the store, I've thought that's a lot of words.
You would say it's a lot of words. But you'd also say, yeah, that's just a lot of money.
How much is it?
Well, that's the thing.
What is it? What is it? I want to know what it is.
Well, a lot of times, a lot of people think that's a lot of money. You wait long enough, and then it's a lot less money because they put it on clearance. And that's what happened to this wine. This is from the Republic of California. It's Forever Enduring. It's Bear Flag. Yes, folks, Bear Flag Zinfandel. That's right. You've probably seen Bear Flag out there. It's a Johnny Come Lately. I'm not familiar with it that much. I know they had the 15 and the 16 vintages out. I had never seen it before that. They also have a Cabernet. And they also have a Eureka Red Blend, which actually has the exclamation point on the end, unlike Bonanza. Yes. What do you say when you spent too much money on Bonanza Cab? You say, Eureka! Jeez.
Well,
yeah, that's right. That's right. But this does have an animal on the label, and it does have a lot of writing. A lot of writing.
Yeah.
And just so you know, this is the 16 vintage, current vintage, and currently on closeout.
Right. Most of the writing is about the history of California.
I know that.
But I'm just saying, like, it's not really worth reading.
No, I assumed on it was. I assumed it wasn't worth reading at any time.
No.
Ever.
Learned how to read.
I know, Scott. I know you did.
I know how to read.
I'm surprised you didn't wear a fedora tonight. Why didn't you wear a fedora?
Doesn't fit under the headphones.
I know. That was so sad that night. You got so sad. You were like, I can't move my hat.
No, I was more concerned that I hadn't done my hair. So that
I had to undo my hat. It makes a difference when you do.
The back of the label does say, blah, blah, blah. Bear Flag has a spicy Zinfandel character complemented by dark fruit notes reminiscent of blueberry pie with hints of vanilla and toast.
Oh, that's interesting.
That sounds delightful.
It does. Mm. And folks, we're
going to... I have a feeling it's not going to be.
Well,
we're gonna, I know. We're going to figure out if they're full of shit. We're going to figure out if this product's worth anything. And we're going to figure out if Scott combed his hair tonight.
I didn't. I did earlier today.
That's great. As soon as we come back here... on the Wine Vault.
Unlicensed taxi driver here. When I'm out on the road, mayhem is everywhere. Mayhem doesn't care, but your local Allstate insurance agent, Craig Walters, does care. Are you in good hands? Are you in the good hands of Craig Walters Insurance Agency?
And if you're not, folks, please give Craig a call. His number is 740-862-4585. You can also meet him at his office at 107 North Main Street, Baltimore, Ohio. For auto, home, or life, give Craig a call.
And we're back, folks. Off the air, Scott said something preposterous and stupid. But that's not that interesting to you because it's commonplace. So, Bear Flag.
Have you wanted to try this for a while, or were you just interested in it because it was on the clearance rack?
Well, normally, well, it wasn't on the rack. It was on the rack, but normally it's about $22, $23, $24.
Hey, that's way too much.
Well, it is when I know that I can also just order Dry Creek Zin or Segeshio, and which is cheaper. I didn't feel like I wanted to spend the money on that Zin. It wasn't interesting to me. But
so how much was it?
16, which was still verging, but nevertheless.
Is it comparable of this Dry Creek Zin?
We don't know.
I don't know. You haven't talked about it yet. But
no, I don't want to get my hopes up. It has an animal on the label.
It does. Yep. It does.
It's a very busy bottle.
It's a little kitschy.
But it's a green bottle with gold writing.
It is.
It's not great.
Mm-hmm.
It also, I know it's a Californian wine, but it reminds me something that the state of Texas would do. Like, doesn't it look like that? Like,
Lone
it's so
Star.
Gaudy.
Just claiming, you know, this states' rights things, whatever.
Yeah. And, like, we're the best state.
Well, I think that they might be, actually. I mean, for argument's sake, they might be. I'm just saying.
They have earthquakes, though.
So do we.
It's really expensive to live there.
Yeah, but it's pretty nice.
Yeah. I mean, it's beautiful.
Yeah, I think
so. Minus, like, L.A.
Yeah, it's probably best, I think. What's going to be better? Idaho? Is it because of the name? North Dakota?
Hawaii has a lot of homeless people, but I would put it up there.
Yeah. It's an island, and they have volcanoes.
It's actually a series of islands.
Thank you for pointing that out. You're like Dora the Explorer, aren't you?
No, I don't speak Spanish.
Don't you? Ay, Dios mío.
Where Ask the Map? No.
Ask the Map.
It's from Dora?
I think so.
Yeah.
Or okay. Blue's Clues, one of the two.
I know. I don't know which one.
Oh, my Lord. You look like you could be a host of Blue's Clues, guy.
I am a host of Blue's Clues.
You're just fucking creepy enough. Okay.
I am a host of Blue's Clues.
I know. Well, anyway.
Do you want me to read a review?
I would like you to review. Now, one thing I'd like to point out. The bottom review, the top review, the number is correct. The bottom review is not because I had a typo.
Oh, what?
Put a one where the two is. There you go.
That's a speculator.
That is what. Well, don't. They're in suspense. Although they probably looked it up.
Well,
already.
Rob did WS.
Yes, I did.
Okay.
I did not review this wine. Just so you know.
Do you want me to read the score or no?
Yes.
Okay. The Wine Speculator gave this wine a 91, blended of 89% Zinfandel, 7% Petite Sirah, and 4%
Terroldego.
No. Anyways,
yeah.
Aged in French and American oak, the medium to deep garnet purple-colored 2016 Zinfandel burst from the glass with baked raspberries, red currant jelly, black forest cake notes with hints of tree bark, cracked pepper, Indian spices, plus a waft of potpourri. That sounds horrible.
They were next to somebody's hippie office where they were burning incense.
I wonder if it's as horrible as our potpourri. No.
And keep on going.
Full-bodied, rich, velvety, and wonderfully spicy in the mouth, it gives up loads of earthy layers on the long finish.
Very nice. Very nice. Very nice.
What do you think potpourri?
Potpourri?
Plus a waft of potpourri.
Just floral.
Floral kind of incense-y kind of thing. Yeah.
I was thinking like mothball-y. That's where my mind, you know, like... Old, you know, I'm talking about old potpourri. That's like a granny. That's what I was thinking of. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
On the webpage, in the tasting notes, it's interesting. They have a nice description of the different tastes and the different things that they're describing. There's got a picture of a plum, picture of a chocolate bar, and a picture of spice, kind of in a grinder.
Mm. Hmm.
I guess for those that are more visual.
Mm. So we've been everywhere from a raspberry, blueberry to a plum. Okay.
Now, one thing I want to point out, folks.
Boysenberry here talks about graham crackers.
Mm. What?
Yeah.
This wine.
Tasting notes on the webpage.
Is from sourced grapes.
What? Shocking.
Dry Creek, mainly. But it's from a vineyard origin, Stefani Ranch, which is a well-known vineyard, as is Monte Rosso. That are fans of... Louis Martini, they have a Monte Rosso high-end Zin from that vineyard. So that's pretty good, damn. And that's 43% Stefani and 23% Monte Rosso with 34 other select vineyards. But nevertheless, that's pretty good pedigree. So they're kind of cherry-picking for some good stuff out of Dry Creek. And then obviously the other select or some other stuff around Sonoma. But it is all Sonoma, which is good.
Yeah.
Sonoma makes good Zin.
We like Zin from Sonoma.
Mm-hmm. It also got, by the way, a 92 from the Wine Enthusiast.
The review.
It's yeah. How they know how some of these things taste is unusual. Flavors of crayon wax, okay, vanilla bean, and dark cherry appear on the palate along with a continuum of tight, firm tannin. This is a thick, powerful wine that is given extra lift by a fresh citrus tug. Don't you love a citrus tug? On the mid-palate, providing a breath of refreshment. By the way, on iTunes today, I noticed somebody has their own podcast series.
Scott?
No.
Oh, God.
I do.
Why?
I have my own podcast.
The way you looked at Scott, I thought he had, like, created a new. No,
it's better. I have my own podcast. It's fantastic.
Did you listen to any of them?
No.
Why would you have to listen? He performed.
Yes. Oh, I'm going to do my own James Suckling podcast as James Suckling. And then people will get confused. Yes. And
that would imply that they're not already confused.
They're like, why am I listening to James Suckling? Jesus Christ.
Is it only wine or what is it?
I don't know.
You didn't look at it?
It's flea markets. His aficionado of carnies.
Gross.
Yeah, stuff like that. His suspicious trips to Thailand. I don't know what that's about. Mm. Yeah.
All right, let's move on. Let's on the nose.
So the Bear Flag tasting notes are completely different yet.
There's some toasted oak. I smell some vanilla.
Sorry.
I have to take control of this
show.
No,
go ahead.
No, I was indisposed briefly because I laughed at my own joke.
Yeah,
that's always the best, isn't it?
Well, for you it is.
It's strange because you find it funny, but you knew you were going to say it, and you know. What's suspicious about Thailand? I go there all the time.
Rob Dern.
What? Just saying. I should smell the wine, shouldn't I? First of all, though, we're ignoring one thing. It looks like... proper Zin in the glass. It looks a little bit like Sagashio.
We're also ignoring, you know, we see Petite Sirah paired with Zins all the time.
Yep.
It's a pretty common. All the time. Yep.
But it also has an interesting little Italian dark skin varietal known as Terroir Dago.
But look that up. I'm sure you're going to find that in a lot of the blends from Ridge, which is up in there. And you're probably going to see it from Dry Creek Vineyard too. They're going to throw that little guy in there.
But what is it?
It's another dark skin grape.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably used for the color. Yeah. But it's predominantly grown in northern Italy.
Yeah, and in small amounts. I mean, nobody really makes 100% of it. But
you can get some Terroir Dago Italian wines.
There's Cassis. slash black licorice on the nose and blackberry jam, but the blackberry jam is very, very muted. A little bit of a menthol edge, but not too bad. There's no real traces of alcohol. It's 14.8%, I do believe.
Right.
I'm with triple B. I'll give you a vanilla in the background with that.
Yeah.
It's faint, but yes, it's there. That'd be from the yolk.
There's, I'm not getting a chocolate. I'm not getting the graham cracker.
No,
I am getting something very sweet, like a blueberry.
You're right down to get the graham cracker because that doesn't exist.
That's on their tasting notes.
Whose tasting notes? Bear Flag?
Yeah.
Yes.
Maybe smells like musk. A bear's musk. Which doesn't smell good during mating season.
Gross.
Hair. Yeah. A bear flag.
A bear's
what?
Musk.
Bear's musk. You ever smell that? You look like you have. Yeah. You look like a... Never mind.
I think bear's musk exists. Well,
I don't know nothing about that. I just made it up, dumbass.
I'm betting you do.
Yeah, I don't know the anatomy of a bear. I know you shouldn't name wines after it.
You know, I wouldn't put this as a Sonoma County Zin.
Yeah, same.
A really good Lodi slash...
That's where I was at.
Amador. Well, it's got the port-like characterizations of an Amador. You know what it tastes a little bit like? The Seven Deadly Zins, however, on steroids... A little bit earthquakey too.
Yeah, earthquake's mm-hmm. a nice
yeah
comp to this.
Yeah,
there is a
the size of it anyway.
Something that I am a little bit into right now is right at the end, right at the finish, before it goes into the oak. There's a pepper, like a black pepper, not a. Mm-hmm. Do you taste it? That's nice.
Just you my overall first impression. Sorry, my overall first impression though is. This does not taste of Sonoma County. I don't know if that's a bad thing.
Well,
I don't know if it's a good thing.
It just depends. Once again,
I like the taste of Sonoma County.
They're,
I do too.
You're talking about sourced grapes. So your
this
other.
This does say the appellation is Sonoma County.
Yeah.
And it's.
Well, it is Sonoma County. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, you Russian River sometimes has a little bit of that booziness as well. Mm. And I wouldn't call it boozy, but. A little bit of raciness on the finish that mm-hmm. a little bit of raisin slash this or that little sweet cherry, but just it comes across with a little bit of heat, well, spice and pepper. The pepperiness is from Dry Creek. You know that. That's classic there. But, you know, Russian River sometimes mm-hmm. can emulate that. Our comps that we've experienced on the show are a little bit like the earthquake, but the earthquake is just like this because of its size. It's big like this, in scope. Now,
and texture, the mouthfeel.
Now, Segeshio in its good years has a denser core than this. Mm. This is a little bit broader, for instance. I mean, in the sense that it has multiple layers. It has complexity. It's interesting.
Yes. I'm trying to sort through the spice because I don't think it's as simple as peppery.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you right now, it's not a plummy, it's prune. That is dead straight prune. You may have some cassis in there. You know what I'm getting towards the finish? Almost like a tar.
Well, that's maybe just a sting of American oak, a slight bit of char, but it's not over the top. And you would expect in a wine like this for it to be oaky.
I'm not going char, though. I'm saying tar. Almost like towards tobacco, towards a concentrated tobacco.
But I'm saying that's where
it's coming where from. Where it rises from.
Yeah.
Surely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let me just start off by saying this is a very good Zinfandel. It's a good Zinfandel.
It is a good Zinfandel. A part of me is, though, is some of the, to Scott's comment about it doesn't taste like a Sonoma County Zin. It's not as enjoyable as I expected it to be. It is fine.
It's all about
flavor profile preference just is not here.
Style.
The style is.
I don't know that any of us prefer the style. Mm-hmm. What's interesting about it is its uniqueness, that it has all these components that you wouldn't expect from a Zin. And you know what I think's going on here? It's the Petit Sirah and the Taroldego kind of given this.
There is tobacco
more of the prominence of these different characteristics that are giving it the unusual nature of a Sonoma. And I think the Zin's being overpowered.
No, Scott, those things only are accounting for 11%. They're not overpowering anything. You're wrong.
Hypothesis.
The Taroldego is not showing anything. That's just for color and pigment. That's doing nothing. And the Petit Sirah, you know what that's for? The same thing.
I get it.
Are we getting any of our tannins from either of those?
There's tannin on the finish.
Are they from the Petit Sirah and the Taroldego?
Well,
the
Zins have tannin as well. But this isn't an overtly tannic wine.
No.
Its size is in its breath. It isn't as dense of wine as Segesio is, for instance. That's the best comp I can think of, but it doesn't taste like that. It is flavor profile. It reminds me of the Seven Deadly Zins we did on the show because it has some elements that remind me of.
I wouldn't know. I wasn't on that episode.
I'm sorry. Well, it has
I can't believe you say that for a second.
But it has savory fruits that remind me of a little bit, not very much, but a little bit of Languedoc. Just a little bit. But that was a little more so. This, though, just has a little bit of those same savory components that did. There's nothing about this wine that I really dislike.
Mm-hmm.
It's all balanced. Mm-hmm. It's all in its place. I'd like a denser wine, but that is stylistically my preference. That's not necessarily a demerit of the wine.
I have a question.
Sure.
Would you pair this with just traditional Zin food pairings? Because it is a little bit of a different taste to it. What do you think?
I wouldn't care for this personally with a steak. I wouldn't care for this personally with
pork chop.
Beef. Yeah.
Well, we don't normally say, well, there are a few Zins that we might do that with. A few. But for the most part, that charred pork chop always comes back to a Zin. I think about when, remember that dinner we had at the station thing? I don't know. At Duck on that pork chop, especially. Beef.
At the station.
Oh, the in Duck that.
In the lighthouse or in the life saving station?
Yeah, life saving station. That place. Yeah. That pork chop I had there was just a wonderful, glorious experience because of the char. But you need a meat that has a little bit of sweetness to it. A steak with this, the flavor isn't. Its size is fine. It's the flavors don't necessarily.
A little bit on the finish, I feel it a little bit turns to a medicinal taste.
That is the port-esque elements. You're not going to like that.
It's a lingerer.
Yep.
It's a relatively long finish that's almost all senses of astringency on the roof of your mouth.
Yep.
You know, it's almost not. The tannin finish is not even.
Who?
Tongue.
Who is this made by?
Present.
Bear Flag.
Them.
Are they owned by anybody?
Bear Flag.
Yeah, I don't.
A bear.
I'm trying to think of a good analogy for this, and the only thing I can think of is like all the technical elements are there.
Yeah.
but it's almost like it's missing, like, the love of a winemaker putting it in together to make it into a good wine. Like, all of the, they did everything right. There's no mistakes, but maybe, like, the true love of wine that we see some of these wine houses have.
They didn't grow the grapes.
They followed the recipe.
Kind of a little, I mean, I am not going to discount that. I see where you're going with that.
My first thought, it's like Sheldon from Big Bang made it. Like, he followed the recipe. What's wrong with it? But it's because it wasn't like, oh, a little bit of this, a splash of this. It was like,
it does
these things off.
You're missing, I guess, just a whiff of authenticity. You don't taste the terroir necessarily, mm-hmm. because it is a blend of multiple vineyards. They're all good vineyards, but yeah. when you do that, you do miss out on just like that whiff of loaminess that you might get through that Dry Creek Zinfandel has, or that core of tannin and girth. Because yeah. even like Sagacious, okay, Sonoma County, it's bounced all over the place, but consistently it's coming from the same ones. And they've been doing it forever, and it's ultimately most, obviously they do buy grapes, but they have their own vines.
This is a poor man's Dry Creek, but it's expensive. That's exactly what this is.
Dry Creek's more traditional Zin flavors, more Brambley Berry, more, and frankly, they keep talking about dark fruit flavors reminiscent of blueberry pies, one of the things in the tasting notes.
It doesn't get that intense, really. I mean, there's flavor there, lots of flavor, but it's not that really decadent.
I can sometimes get a little bit of a blueberry at the very beginning, mm-hmm. and it's almost like a sugary fruit flavor at the beginning, and that's like me reaching, you know, like at the very, very front palate, it's gone.
It's prune with blackberry that goes through and has a little bit of cassis. And then it just a whiff of tobacco that leads into the astringency, and there's no chocolatiness. I mean, there might be in 30 minutes, but I could see this wine
has. How long have you had this open?
Since about 8. Not an hour and a half. I mean, yeah, you could see this reveal more. I could see this wine. If you had it, you know, 3-4 years, you'd keep this. You're not aging it.
Right.
But you can hold it. I mean, I don't see any. I think this has it is stable enough to do that.
What year is this?
16.
Oh, wow.
That's current vintage, though. Mm-hmm. But I think there's enough here to do that. I don't know why you would, but you could.
Can I ask a question?
No.
What is the one thing or flavor that you would like to see more to improve this wine?
Berry. I see.
Sweet,
I think
sweet berry wine.
Very. Generous saying that you're getting blackberry out of this.
There's blackberry.
Not for me.
I know, but that,
what
that's
about you, wine guy? What's the one thing?
That just sounded like you were. No, I would like to see it a little bit more density. I mean, it has.
It's fairly dense. And for
it's
this.
Not. It isn't.
Okay. I mean, it's not
brown. And I would like to see a front palate that is a little bit more expanded. Mm-hmm. Zin, you go for the front palate, where this one,
it's just not there.
Well, it certainly has a front palate, but it isn't this bold.
No, what I was saying was not there. It's not the Zin front palate. It's just not.
It's a version of it. We've had other Zins that have this palate. It is
not from Sonoma.
Yeah, I mean they make the. I mean this is not. This doesn't. This is it tastes a little bit mutt-ish, but it doesn't taste like Sagacio, of course.
Nope.
But Sagacio is pulling from the same vineyards all the time. They know what they're doing in that regard. They have been doing this long enough. But what this doesn't have, it doesn't taste of the earth.
Mm.
It doesn't. It doesn't taste like the vineyard it came from. You don't notice that. I mean, you couldn't. Because they could, obviously they have contracts with different vineyards, but it can't take on the character of the terroir because it's blent so much.
Do you think it's because it's from all kinds of different
yeah. Yeah, and I don't think that any one of them is a big enough amount to really take control of the blend and call, and so you could call it this or that.
Yeah. And it's like they've mixed it too much that it's a little bit muddled instead of there being a clarity of fruit.
Well, no, I think that there's clarity. It just tastes homogenous. It just tastes.
Oh, I would do away with that port finish. Ugh.
Well, you wouldn't like that. I get that. You don't like port. But and then it shows because of that, obviously. I think that's a little bit of Russian River probably that's dripping in there. Mm. That's what Russian River Zinfandels taste like, Scott. Mm. That's just what they taste like. You don't. I mean, they do. But...
I like how Scott just says,
Well, he doesn't know. How many Zinfandels from Russian River you had? Zero. So, but they taste a little bit boozy, but it doesn't really pick a style.
Right.
You know?
And it reminds me of the Earthquake Zin, but I'll be honest.
It does, because Earthquake Zin is homogenous too, but from a different area.
But I think I cared for it more. Not that I loved Earthquake. I mean, we liked
it. It was more cab-like than this.
Yeah.
This is more something like Red Blend-like. And it's more Zin in it, I think, than Earthquake. But it tastes less specific. And you know it's Zin, but, you know, it's not a 92 or a 91.
And I'm also really interested in that price point.
That you can have a lot of things in that price point. And quite frankly, I might just drink Bogle. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's half the price. It's not as good, theoretically. But it's not. But this isn't twice as good. It's not.
For $7 cheaper, you could have Dry Creek's Inn. And that is a fantastic wine.
No, Dry Creek's about $22.
Yeah,
it's right there. Dry Creek's Inn, $17.99.
Yeah, that was then. This is now.
Inflation.
Yeah. It's, okay. I haven't seen it. $17.99.
For $2 cheaper.
Well, yeah, you could have that. You could have Segeshio. You could have anything from Ravenswood.
Yeah.
Man, we haven't had the most recent vintages. They might be bad. I don't know. But
I've had all the recent stuff except it's been a while since I've had the Napa.
Sometimes you can get like their single vineyards, like the Barisha and things like that for $19.99.
Yes.
Occasionally. You know, and. I mean, those are all.
And Zins especially, I feel like you can find some really nice bargains.
Yeah.
For this to be a mid-20 Zin and to taste like this, it's like, oh, what a.
Well, no, it's a good wine.
It's fine.
It's just, it's not.
No, you would never buy this again.
No.
Given like anything even normal, even remotely normal, you would never choose this over anything else.
Well, I don't typically. There's a lot of things I haven't rebought that I like, partly because I'm like, well, okay, but I want this.
If I was out for a restaurant and this was available for a glass pour.
Depends on the price.
Meh, depends on what else there was.
Oh my gosh, that's true, too. It would be expensive as a glass pour. It would probably be 14 or 15, don't you think?
Oh, I don't
whatever.
Know.
10, 11, whatever. Mm. But it's just like, what else is there? Naomi? I'm going to pick this.
You know? Yeah. I mean, in this...
What it... I
you
mean...
Know, you really don't like it because of the portish finish.
It's, yeah, it's... I don't
but
like
that's not really... It doesn't bother me as much.
No.
But, you know... But
that's probably my favorite part of the wine. I like that thing that's tarish, tobacco-ish.
Yeah.
I like that part of it.
It doesn't commit to anything, though. It's not bad. It just... Something else. Punch
just,
it up.
If this had just that, as you called it, expanded front palate, where you had a real expression, a real expression.
If it had a stereotypical front palate.
I would love, it would be so much better if it did have a stereotypical Zin front palate.
But not
with,
all.
With the prune still with it.
But not all Zins would you say that about. This, though.
You want it.
Well, this that would help this wine.
It would be better if it was more.
We're not saying that we want that in every Zinfandel.
No.
Because some Zins are structured a way that it doesn't help. But this, it would.
It really would.
It really would.
You know, it just, they talk about vanilla.
No.
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 Oak.
I get there's a things little that bit are of from vanilla the in the nose, but not in the...
Oh, yeah, on the nose, for sure.
Yeah, but not tasting.
On the palate?
No. Well, folks, we're going to take a break and be right back here in the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So tonight's potpourri, we have a contest. A battle of titans.
Uh-oh.
Triple B and the unlicensed taxi driver.
Okay. What?
Now, normally we do a trivia game or something like that, but tonight we're not going to do that. We're going to do a different type of game. This is probably a little more useful to the consumers as opposed to listening to Scott sound stupid. I'm sure you still will, but...
still work on that.
I know. This is a little more direct, practical... technical skill is involved in this.
What?
I'm going to give you...
I feel like you're getting ready to be like, you have to do 10 push-ups, 10 jumping jacks.
That's more physical skill.
Yes.
Okay.
Anyway.
Unless he's going to grade us on our form.
Yes, that's true.
Okay.
I'm going to provide you with a dish, a food dish.
Okay.
And then you will each take turns.
I want a casserole dish.
No.
Ramekin?
Shut up.
Cereal bowl?
And you will then tell me
butter plate
the proper wine pairing to that entree.
Oh,
jeez. Now, one will start, and then the other one will say a second option to what the other person says. So, say I
can choose from any wine.
Yes.
And you mean like Zen? You don't mean like Bear Flag?
You could get as specific as you want, but you don't have to. You might get more points from me if you did, but I'm not expecting that. That's a little. You could even say the vintage, but you can be as specific as you want or as generic as you want. Red wine probably is not sufficient, or white wine for that matter, because there is some things you might want to do a white wine with.
It works for the superstar.
Okay.
Yes, it's true. Okay. So, Triple B, would you like to be the first to go?
It's fine.
Oh.
Go ahead.
She's not all in.
Mm-mm.
She's not. So the first entree that you will provide a pairing for is, and I've had this before, braised short ribs with a red wine reduction over cheese polenta. Cheese polenta.
I'm debating between two. Do you know what you want, Scott?
I'm still envisioning the dish.
It's tasty.
It's a delight. The polenta, especially, is a delight.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if you can put enough cheese in polenta to make it not blast you out of the keto club.
No.
Why don't think so. Go to Martini's to find out.
I was going to say something mean, but I'm not going to say it. You've made polenta.
I have.
And it multiplies average. Times a million. No, it's delicious.
Oh,
and then you made polenta cakes with it.
All
like
that.
Leftovers. It was so good.
And cheesy grits, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For me, I would be going like Old Vines Inn territory.
Mm.
So... like Ravenswood is where my mind immediately went. And I can't remember. We may have actually had that with it.
Mm. Now, would you choose the Lodi, Napa, Sonoma, anything specific?
I think I would choose Napa.
The Napa? Mm.
Okay. I think that would be... a wonderful pairing. But
glad you agree.
What I would do would be I'd go to the roots of that dish.
Mm.
you put some spins on it, but I'd go a super Tuscan. Just an Italian, big thing, some blend of super Tuscan. Not necessarily a big dollar version, but just a nice, to go to the roots of that dish. Braised short ribs, polenta. Yeah, I don't know that in Italy they're going to put cheese in it. It's fine.
They put cheese in everything.
Not the kind of cheese you're talking.
Did I say I was in Italy right now?
I don't think you're in Italy. I don't know that you've ever been in Italy.
So you're just going to do a super Tuscan?
Yeah, that's where I'm going to go.
Wow. So nice.
I like it.
And just so you know, I'm going to assign points from 1 to 10.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
1 to 10?
1 to 10.
Okay.
So nice job. Scott, you'll start on the next one. The next one is grilled octopus with pesto. Never had this, but it sounds lovely. A little drizzle of pesto on the grilled octopus.
Never had grilled octopus.
That makes you a communist.
I've never had grilled octopus.
It's lovely.
I've always been afraid to order that dish grilled.
Well,
or
I would too at TGIF Fridays.
No, anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Seafood areas.
I had it in Columbus, and in Vaso.
Yeah, that.
I had a Vegas Mirage.
Did you have it in Vegas?
That was lovely.
We've also had it at Marcello's.
Oh,
that
yes.
That was there.
Lovely.
As an appetizer?
Mm-hmm. It was their gluten-free calamari option.
No, well, that's true.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
But I'm thinking the...
What texturally, what's that like? Is it more similar to calamari than...
No, it's a little softer. Not quite as chewy.
Okay. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Does it kind of caramelize and get little crispy bits to it about it?
Just a little bit.
Interesting.
Just a little bit.
So I'm going to go with a white wine.
Wow.
I think I'm going to go. I don't know why this popped into my head. You could go like a Bordeaux blend, but I'm not going that way. That's what popped into my head initially.
Mm-hmm.
A Gruner Veltliner. Excuse me. Gruner Veltliner. I don't think it would be overpowered by the pesto. I doubt that it's a classic choice for seafood, but why not?
Okay. Why not? On to the triple B.
So, I was trying to think of just like a very crisp white wine to go with it.
Mm-hmm.
I have not had something like the Turley White Coat, so I don't know if that would be a good choice or not. But in my mind, I immediately went to like a Pinot Gris just for the crispness to kind of balance it some. Yeah, that's where I'm headed.
I'd have to know which Pinot, you know, which way you went with that gray. You definitely wouldn't want something on at least semi-dry. Anything with
Pinot Gris by definition
should be
dry.
Should
she's
be.
Talking about an Oregon or possibly a proper Pinot Grigio as well.
But the fact is, many of them are not that.
What fake ones? But we're talking about real wines. We're not talking about cupcake wine. Not the shit you're drinking there.
Just trying to provide.
What did you say, Scott?
Gruner Veltliner.
Oh, I don't know how to spell that.
VLTLANER.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. All right. Now the triple B will start on the next one.
Okay.
This is going to be a little more, you know, Midwestern.
How many of these are we doing?
Just four.
Yeah. Okay.
Pot roast.
Mm.
With red potatoes and a brown pan sauce. This is difficult. Although Scott's proven that the other ones were difficult.
Ah, whatever. I think my choices would be brilliant.
No.
Oh, super Tuscan with short ribs. Give me a break.
Yawn.
Whatever.
So...
Mm-hmm.
For this one, to me, there's not much more of an American dish than pot roast, red potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
Also, there's not much more of an American wine than Bonanza.
Bonanza. That's your answer.
No.
Because I never was going to give negative points, but I could.
No,
that would make me throw up.
I just thought, but that would make you throw up.
With that? Yes. Just in general, maybe, but Bonanza.
I don't know what I would pair that with.
That's why. It's difficult.
It would not be Bonanza. Not if I wanted points on this game.
And don't think of it like brown gravy. Think of it as a pan sauce.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know why red potatoes are in there. I just wrote that.
Well,
it sounds delicious.
It does sound delicious.
In general, a red potato is one of the earthier, but also still has that sweetness about it.
True.
I don't know.
I know you don't. Sorry.
Potatoes, but truth is, it's not so.
True. I think, honestly, I would probably go with something that has a pretty good kick to it. Something that has a lot of spice, a lot of, I don't know, I just think pot roast can be such a dense dish. I think something that really had a good kick to it, I would honestly go with a Hecula, because I think it would be, I love a pot roast, but it is also like a little bit of a...
interesting.
I don't know. Not a bland taste to it, but do you know what I mean? Like, it's all going to kind of taste the same.
Mm-hmm.
And so you pair it with something like Hecula, and you get that pepperiness, you get that kick to it. And I think it would just be a really nice, unexpected mix.
Mm. Interesting.
I thought about Gwen Comfort, but I think I would go bold.
So, just last night, we had a little viewing party for a football game.
Mm-hmm.
And on the menu was a crock pot of beef.
Oh.
Yeah.
And it actually got paired with a Fransac, Chateau Monvaya. I think that was a wonderful pairing.
Merlot?
Yeah, but a French blend style Merlot. It was perfect in retrospect for what we had. I think it would be just as well paired with that exact dish. That bottle itself would
be wonderful. Did you put veggies in with your pot roast, or what did you do?
Just so I was going to make my beef stew that I give a little love, but this was just a five-ingredient pot roast in the crock pot, except it was more than just pot roast. So I layered the bottom with red onion, thinly sliced, chunked and thinly sliced, a layer of beef stew meat already chunked, and I layered that with three sliced and pseudo diced jalapenos, fresh jalapenos.
Okay.
And I laid a whole probably 2.5 pound chuck roast, about 1.25 inch thick. And then I topped that with the last of my garden tomatoes from two seasons ago that were in the freezer. They were Romas. They were sliced about 1/4 inch thick.
Mm-hmm.
And I had just enough to layer those on top of the chuck roast. Mm-hmm. I didn't have enough to braise it properly.
Yeah.
But I laid those across the top and the liquid fell into that. And I wish I'd have been able to turn it into, thicken it with a gravy. I had heavy cream, but...
It was good.
Did want to do it. It was really good, and we did have that bottle of wine.
Did you put beef stock over it? Or?
I was going to, but I let Deb finish it, and she didn't want to do anything. She didn't want to do anything but shred it. I had bone broth actually to do that. And what I would have done was cooked it down a little bit, added the bone broth, cooked it down a little bit, and then finished it with heavy cream. Mm. We finished it. We had available sour cream, cheese. There were some other things going on, but
you put it over top Becky's buffalo chicken.
It was fantastic. Too. We love the buffalo chicken.
Oh yeah,
I love buffalo chicken.
With the pork rinds. The
pork rinds.
Oh, that's a great idea.
We alternated celery dip with the pork rinds. Yeah, and it
that's
was
a great idea.
That's high living.
Well, when I make the buffalo chicken dip, if I can remember to put blue cheese in it, I think it is a nice kick to it.
And with those pork rinds,
cream cheese is what was in it.
Cream cheese, Frank's Red Hot Buffalo, a ranch mix. The ranch mix is good, but I think the blue cheese is what's really good.
Just take just little nibbles of it. It was perfect.
Yeah. We don't always have, we usually have blue cheese, but as long as I remember to put it in, I think it's good. I love buffalo chicken, anything I love.
Anything buffalo. I love hot sauce.
I love hot dishes. We've done like buffalo cauliflower. That's good.
So now, folks, on to the last one. Scott, we'll start off with this. And this is...
Do you want to tell us our scores before?
No.
Or no? Okay.
Grilled sole with a lemon dill butter sauce. Grilled sole, lemon dill butter sauce.
I don't know sole.
It's fish, Scott.
Yes, I realize it's fish. It's a drier fish.
Yes, is it like a less tilapia? Fatty? Or no?
It's a little more delicate. Yeah, it's delicate. It's a delicate, delicate fish. At the at the refectory, they do it tableside. They do it sole preparation.
Lemon?
Dill butter sauce.
Dill butter sauce.
I'll do that with tilapia frequently, but... Yeah, tilapia is a little more oily. It's very difficult to cook sole.
It's easy to dry out.
Yeah.
Is it often steamed? You steam sole because of the delicacy of
it? Could be. I have no idea.
I think.
I know that they cook it tableside at, I believe, at refectory. So it's like a flash cooking. It cooks very quickly, I believe, is how it works. So.
I would pair it with Dry Creek Fumé Blanc. Because I'm uncertain of the fish and what it offers and needs from the pairing, I'm almost pairing that simply with the lemon butter sauce. I think that would be a brilliant pairing with that. But I'm lost on the sole.
I know you don't have any. And now over to the Triple B.
I've got yours. Robert, what are you doing with your sole tonight?
Oh, what about your soul for all of eternity?
Just tonight. Let's take this one day at a time.
Tonight. By the way, I went into Kroger.
Robert, we must go slowly.
I was in Kroger today. I was walking through there, and I heard, Studio. I was like, oh, no. I had to listen to Susu Studio in Kroger's.
They knew you were there.
I know. So the Triple B.
So I feel like I haven't really got some of my favorite wines in there as choices.
Oh.
So for this, I would pick the Love Block Sauvignon Blanc.
Ooh.
I think it would be a nice compliment. It's delicate. It's not going to overpower it, but it still has its own flavor profile with it. So, yeah.
Taking it over the top. What's the price point of our sole dish?
The thing is, I thought...
It's expensive.
If it is, you know, if you're making this, you might even put a splash of the Love Block in it. Be a delight. So, yeah, let's go.
I'd have a hard time doing anything but pouring Love Block in the glass.
Oh my gosh, I
swear I would. It just
really, regardless of whatever Rob said, I was going to have to get Love Block in there somewhere.
I was thinking about Love Block Pinot Noir for that, but I just didn't know this open hand.
I know
you don't go red with
fish. No, you definitely don't go red
fish,
with
fish, but
still.
Again, I was just pairing it with that sauce. And I think you could pair a Pinot Noir with a lemon butter dill sauce.
No, you can't.
Oh, I think you can.
Well, you're wrong.
Oh,
so,
we start off.
The first one, the braised short rib.
Mm-hmm.
Becky, she suggested Ravenswood, Napa. And Scott just said some super fucking Tuscan.
You said we did not have to be you bottle or varietal.
But you might get more points if you were.
Well.
Triple B.
A lot of good super Tuscans out there.
I provided her 8 of my points. Oh, 8 out of 10.
Okay. Folks, we see where this is going. Ask us her.
I was looking for a Cali wine that was nice and robust.
Okay. Oh, so you were prejudging and determining.
Yes, I know what is best with these foods.
And so what'd you give Scott?
I gave him 6. Six fucking points.
That was really nice of you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So right now it's 8-6.
Paired it perfectly.
No, you did a very poor job. Because that is a very ripe dish, very rich.
You still gave him 6 points.
And you weren't even specific as to what Super Tuscan you wanted.
I couldn't think of any.
Good job. That's why you got a 6. So, grilled octopus with pesto.
You know I like to research.
Mm-hmm. Now, one thing...
Becky gets mad when I turn on the iPad.
One thing I was looking for in this wine, the discussion, was something aromatic. I was also looking for something with a Mediterranean flair, possibly, or something that had some sort of elements that, because that is often a Mediterranean dish, especially with the pesto. Grüner Veltliner is not.
No, it's not.
So you got a 6.
But why is that dish?
Because that's what it was. Becky, Pinot Gris, Pinot Grigio, that does have a bit of that flair. Now, Pinot Gris doesn't, but it is a little more aromatic. So I gave her 8 points.
What?
Yeah, 8
Pinot Gris is not aromatic.
Perfect would have been a white Châteauneuf du Pape. Roussillon.
Oh, my Lord.
That would have been excellent. Yeah. Viognier. And Pinot Gris is similar to Viognier, so that's why she got that. Mm. Now, on to the next one.
Yeah, your
pot
aunt,
roast.
Your aunt's similar to your uncle, too. But
with red potatoes and brown pansies.
How many would you have given Bonanza?
0. the pot roast. So Becky said Hecula, Monastrell. That's fine. I think it would be a little unorthodox.
Right. I said that.
And I gave you 6 points.
Ugh, whatever. You gave Scott 6 points.
He's afraid.
Other ones. Okay.
Now, Scott said a French Merlot. And quite frankly, you're not looking for something overtly jazzy, but you do want pure fruit. Maybe a little bit of berry fruit, but nothing too obnoxious. Mm-hmm. Probably because it is a more of a simple dish. Mm-hmm. And the Franzac is pure fruit. Mm-hmm. That's why Scott got 9 of my points for that description. That was an excellent description. It was spot on.
9.
We just had that wine. It was a perfect pairing with that. I didn't think about it at the time how well it paired
did.
With
it
that
did
beef.
Really well. Did really
but
well.
Then when you laid out, you know, the red skin potatoes,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
I think you could even throw some just traditionally cooked fresh green beans with a little bacon.
So Becky, the ultimate competitor, is actually totally up the scores. What is the score right now?
Bad job counting. Becky has 22. Scott has 21.
Oh, so it's 1 point difference.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. So Scott's 1 point over Becky.
This is upsetting.
He'll win. So.
And he's going to ask us about.
Grilled sole with lemon dill sauce. Scott said the Dry Creek Fumé Blanc. Becky said the Love Block Sauvignon Blanc. Now, folks, for those that know. Dole or sole, very delicate, but it's also very French. The perfect score would have said a French white Bordeaux, which is Sauvignon Blanc, but it's mineral driven. It isn't particularly Cali, so Cali is the wrong choice for that.
But the Dry Creek Fumé Blanc does have a tone of minerality to it.
Is the wrong choice.
Oh Lord!
So
now you're gonna backtrack.
While Love Blanc isn't perfect. It is somewhat better in its pink grapefruit and its more higher acidity levels. So ergo.
No minerality.
Becky. It does have minerality. Becky gets 7 points for the last one. And Scott gets
8.
6 points. Mm. So that means Becky wins 29-27.
Score bias.
So good job, Becky.
How many dishes of French sole have you had, Becky?
0, but I would love it. That's a Becky dish, isn't it?
You know who's had it in this room?
Nobody.
Me.
You've had it at the refectory?
No, but I've had it.
Where?
I forget where it was, but I had it. It was nice. It wasn't.
It's a dish.
Oh, I remember where I had it. Who? Yeah.
I think the last.
I did. It was at. It was in Grahamville. What the hell is that place that's haunted?
Brews?
No.
Oh, the old Grahamville Inn.
No, it's the one across the street. It's not the Garibaldi. It's the one across Buxton the street. Inn. The Buxton Inn. I had it at the Buxton Inn.
I think the last time I've even seen it offered was, I think, at Martini's. Devin Page and Steve and I went. I think it was offered as a special.
Yeah.
And I just couldn't pull the trigger.
Well, you should have. That way you'd have more knowledge.
Know. Well, but...
I know.
It just doesn't interest me. A delicate white fish that's not fatty. Just doesn't interest me.
That's okay. So, folks, we're going to take a break with Becky's rousing win and be right back here on the Wine Vault. Hey, everybody. It's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault?
I know the unlicensed does.
Wow, that's great. Do you know how you can get that done? Do you know the one way the world can find out about the Wine Vault?
What way is that, Rob?
Giving us a review on iTunes. So, take the time. Give us that 5-star or whatever. Let us know. Let the world know that you love the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back. And we're back, folks. We've had a wonderful discussion off the air. It's so nice that we can be so good to people.
Right.
This is the friendliest show.
All we do is lift people up.
This is the friendliest podcast on anything, you know?
I, for a moment, thought you were going to sing, like, you raise me up or...
No, I'm not going to do that because that's not true. It's not true. It's a lie. We're not good people.
Ah.
Well, I am.
I'm the mother to your children.
Yeah, well, you're still mean. That's okay, though. It's my fault. You learned it from me. You weren't like this when I met you. You
what
were
about
innocent.
Scott?
He's a dick. He always has been. Jesus Christ. I mean, he might be more of a dick or less of a dick. I don't know. Whatever.
Well,
you know. In relation to you or since having known you?
Just in general. I have no idea. It has nothing to do with me.
It's hard to give perspective to that characteristic.
I think that you're worse than Scott.
Yeah. I'm worse than... Yes. I take pride in that.
Yeah.
He's too weak don't to be think? Like me.
No, I wouldn't say weakness. I would say...
Frailty.
No.
It depends who you talk to.
I was going to say humane.
Oh, I'm not humane.
No, I've never had ptomaine poisoning, but
Jesus Christ.
Thought I did once.
Yeah, I have more of an aggressive edge killer kind of thing.
Not killer.
Just humiliate people kind of thing.
Not really.
Yeah, a little bit.
There's a girl I work with, and she got this guy asked her out and then didn't show up. Ooh. And then she saw him out again later, months later, 6 months later.
Okay.
He asked her out again. They Why? Went out.
Okay.
Never called her again.
So
you need to get a hint.
What, so this person, was she surprised?
Why did she go out with him?
I know. She didn't tell me. She purposefully didn't tell me.
Well, I wouldn't.
But what the whole point of this is, then they were out somewhere like with mutual friends. They're like, they have a lot of mutual friends. So they were out, and this guy's name's Jake, and he was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe it's been so long since I've seen you. Totally, like, ignoring the fact that he had never called her.
No.
Well.
But he was like, and then he, like, hovered around her.
Yeah, that's
super weird.
Well.
So then, Friday night, she was going to Bob's Bar downtown in Clintonville, and she was like, I'm pretty sure Jake's going to be there, and I told her to call me. And I would chew him out. And then I said,
yeah, sure.
I'm happy to chew him out. But if you really want someone to, I can send Rob. Because I was like, he's meaner than anyone you've ever met.
Say,
but
hey,
so,
motherfucker, what you doing, man?
I'm going to tell you what I see going on.
Yeah.
Huh.
No, don't.
I never did this, but there are guys that believe in the fact that the way to get more girls is to treat them bad.
Yeah.
And that's a girl that gives credence to that theory. And I'm not.
Yeah, she's asking for it.
I'm not. No, bullshit.
Yeah, she's hurting.
She a guy plainly mistreated her, and she gives him a second chance.
That's right.
Fuck that.
Third
if you're
chance.
Dating and somebody doesn't treat you right away, and there's no explanation. Oh my God, I didn't show up. My mom died. Make a lie. Well,
Becky, what's her name?
No, it's.
Do I know her? Oh, then I'll say her name.
And I'm sure there's situations where it's the opposite. It's the guy that gets mistreated.
Often.
You have to have enough self-esteem
to
understand that you're being rejected and it's okay. Move on to somebody else.
Just so you know.
You don't need to get some sort of validation by actually getting to go out on a date with them again.
She's not listening. You don't tell
her. No, she gets it.
I know. I told her that I think because they didn't even kiss on their date, and I was like, I bet that because there wasn't a lot more action that he never called you.
That's right. Well, you know what,
but it's good that there wasn't, but I was like, I feel like someone like him.
There,
he was very forward in text messages.
Ooh. He sent her a picture of his dick?
No.
Because that would be funny.
Very forward.
Very forward. Like how? Explain.
That boy will try to contact her again.
Yeah, I know.
Did he say, do you know who I am?
I know. And I was like, can I please go out with you all the time?
So
just waiting.
In public, he put on this big display of being infatuated with her or whatever.
Hey.
Oh, I can't believe I haven't seen you in a long time. Uh-huh. Yeah, and she should have been like, motherfucker, we went on a date and you didn't call me.
Bye.
No, it's like everybody here needs to know. He's acting like this. Mm-hmm. Here's what happened.
Yeah.
Go away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Go away. And that's what sucks about having single friends, big group of friends, and you end up, people get coupled up or date or whatever, and it goes awry. And that's how groups splinter apart.
Yep.
And it's just part of life. It sucks, but it sucks. I hope she understands that the guy is just playing her.
Yeah. He's lame.
He sounds pretty cool to me. He's like, sorry. Hey, baby, I'm sorry. I saw you that one time, but I just didn't have time. You know, hey, come on, baby. Yeah, he just sounds like he's just a player. Just a bad motherfucker.
Probably just a wannabe.
He's like, yeah, man. You do that. You do you.
He
literally
works with.
Don't name names. Oh, he's one of them.
And
that explains it.
So he said that, because I messaged him also, and he was like, oh, he's really weird. Like, I can't exactly put my finger on it, but he's a weird dude.
Yeah. That's right. Does he do any hazing?
I don't know. I didn't ask.
Because Scott will blame them. Yeah, victim. So on to the wine.
The victim.
On to the wine.
I was wondering when that was going to make it onto this episode.
That's right. I'm not going to be specific, but Scott's a victim blamer. So.
Most certainly am not.
Oh, you are. So.
Oh, God.
Bear Flag.
Oh, God.
I'm glad I haven't mispronounced that tonight. Yeah, Bear Flag. Zinfandel. We're going to start off with the BBB. It's going to give it a fair score. Bear Flag.
That's exactly how I feel. Becky's comment was to yawn.
Yeah.
Bear Flag.
It's like sometimes we have wines where I'm like, I don't even care to rate it because I don't ever want to drink it again. I wouldn't recommend it to anyone.
Check again.
You know? So I would give this an 86.
Where I'm at. 86. It doesn't deserve more than that.
I'm at an 86 too.
How somebody gives us a fucking 91?
It's an 86.
And you maybe could honestly talk me if you were like, "Oh, I gave it an 85." I'd be like, "Oh, okay."
That's well, it's fine. Better. It's better than average. You know, it's a Zin.
Yep.
It's got good length.
Yep.
It has some complexity. Yep. However, it doesn't really have as a mosaic.
Yeah.
The pieces aren't there to make an attractive painting. It has all the elements. It's just the elements as a cohesive unit.
They don't sing.
No, they don't. It doesn't sing.
And they're not necessarily out of place. It's just just a bit of an oddball.
Yep.
And there's a reason we said we wish it was a more stereotypical Zin, because then it then with these characteristics it has, it would then be interesting.
Yeah, if it had a nice fruit front palate, it might get an 88, 89.
Just
know how we're like, I don't even really care to debate it or discuss it. It's also that feels like how this wine was made. Like, we don't really care to make sure that there is some of this other more traditional Zen styling to it.
Yeah, I just, I'm going to go back to my thought that the oddballs that are the lesser components by percentage are what exhibit more to the wine.
No.
That's my take. Right. But
it's a hot take.
It's a hot take. No, it's just speculation. But
hot box take.
It just doesn't have what I would hope for from those, in theory, a little more prestigious growing areas inside Sonoma. It just doesn't have. It's like if, in fact, that higher percentage is from, you know, these more substantial vineyards, he's not getting the cream of the crop.
No, he's getting he's getting the stuff in the briars and the fence rows.
Yeah.
sticks and stems.
Oh, fuck. We ran over those damn vines. That's okay. It's okay. I can still use those. Here, get a shovel. No. It's okay. Well, I don't know. That was all. The bugs were all over. It's okay.
It just reminds me of one that Cheech and Chong would make.
You gotta know, last night I got really drunk. Seeds
that you don't need.
I was wondering.
Bear Flag
through.
Wine is badass weed. It's like, drinking wine.
Let me ask you, where can I get a deal? What grapes can you sell me as a deal? Well, last night I did go in the vineyard, and I was pretty drunk, and I accidentally took a leak over all these vines right here, so I can give you a special price on those. Okay.
You realize you're talking about them pissing on the vines that this was made of that we just drank.
Well, it's too late now. They sterilized it, something. So
with their urine, apparently.
It's not really recommended because it's too expensive and there's many other.
No, it's not recommended because it's not good.
Well, no, it's good, but not
good. I can't think
good.
Of an 86 that I cared
well,
for.
Well, 86
less.
Is good. It's just not excitingly great. It's not
think
recommended.
Of an 86 that I think less of.
Oh, you
right.
love
no,
it.
No, I agree.
You'll buy it.
I
double bring it home sometime.
I will say that if I saw it as a glass pour and there was nothing else, it truly isn't objectionable.
No, it's not a bad wine.
That's why
there's somebody
that's
else
why
that's
we're
gonna like it.
Scoring it the way we are. It's
we
not
don't recommend it. It's not something that is exciting to us. And at the price range is more the thing. It's not a good value. There's other options. And I would never get along to buying this, partly because I just don't enjoy it that much.
I can't think of the price point where I would say, oh, this is a good value. As you said, Bogle, I'd rather have Bogle. At the same price
shoplifting
as Bogle,
prices.
I would rather shoplifting prices. I mean, you get below $10. Okay, yeah, fine. But $10, the $10.99 price point, rather have Sledgehammer.
Come on, man.
I'd rather have Sledgehammer.
I know you would, but you're Mr. Hot Take. You just Mr.
I'd rather
Hot
have Sledgehammer.
Mr. Hot Take.
Bogle.
Well, Mr. Hot Take, for Mr. Hot Take, the Triple B, and Rob the Wine Guy, we're going to bid you adieu. Try not to be as, you know.
Robert?
Oh, no. Well, no.
Controversial.
You're done.
What about
You've
me?
You've spoken too much.
Robert, you must not forget your friend.
All right. Harry Dick Schlottman, also on the show. I'm sorry. And Scatina. All of those people are going to bid you adieu and see you next time on the Wine Vault. Good night.